recording farts with a bare butt.
Bad judgment.
All right, so are we ready to rock or
yes,
what?
Yes, sir.
You good to go?
I've never been readier, readiest.
Without any further ado, then, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world, Windy City citizens and surrounding suburbanites, tech-savvy millennials and baby-booming Luddites, welcome to yet another very special The Game Show Show and Stop!
Greetings!
Live from somewhere in Chicago, but nowhere in particular, and available everywhere on the World Wide Web, it's The Game Show Show and Stuff! That's right, The Game Show Show and Stuff, a show with games and stuff. More profanity, trivia games, guessing games, and some challenges on the Radio Podcast Network. Everybody dance! And now, a man needs no introduction. Allow me to introduce your host, introducing Anderson!
Yes, Queen! Yes! Yes, as the gays say! Hello, everyone! Please, please, please be seated!
You look like a crazy person!
Man, I can't help it!
I think you are a crazy person.
Why do you have to do that?
Yes!
Good question.
Tell me why!
Welcome, everyone, to the Game Show Show and Stuff on this beautiful Tuesday evening. In Chicago, Illinois, in the heart of America.
Yes, amen.
Trump country.
Yes, unfortunately.
My name is Anderson Lauber, the host of the Game Show Show and Stuff, and with us as always is the repugnant.
Damn.
And repulative.
Wow, I think you made that one up.
Mr. James Anthony Zocchelli Jazz.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Anderson. Please don't use my government name. I've asked you so nicely so many times.
Why can't you just follow simple directions?
How many times do I have to ask?
And sitting across the table from me, writing diligently with a pencil on yellow legal pad.
A pencil?
Like a 1930s lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
It is Jonathan Isabella Moran.
That's right.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Isabella.
People love him.
They do.
Listen to your friend Billy Zane.
And joining us for the fourth time.
Wow. That's right.
That's the most timer.
Yeah, that's the most times a guest has been on our show.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah. Momentous occasion.
A fourth timer. All the way from Arkansas.
Yeah.
It's stand-up comedian Sydney Davis. You make fun of your name so much, I fucked it up.
Sydney Dervis.
Sydney Darnell Dermless.
Dermos.
Sydney Davis.
Yeah. AKA Sydney Davis Jr. Jr.
What? What's happening?
What is happening? Oh.
Why are you dressed up?
Why am I dressed up? Because it's springtime.
Is it?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it, but it is.
No, the reason I'm actually dressed up is because I've been like perpetually moving since last October.
Really?
So I finally unpacked all my clothes and have stopped recycling like the same seven outfits. So that's it. That's the only reason why I'm wearing this dress. Oh. It was 48 degrees this morning, and I didn't care. I was like, this has been in a bag, in a literal trash bag.
And you're like, I'm wearing it. I don't care.
Yep.
I'm putting on these trash bag clothes.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm heading out there in the fucking cold.
Good for you.
Just for fashion.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's a nice looking dress.
Thanks.
There's all kinds of flowers on there. Yeah. It's a V-neck. We've got a gold necklace going on there. The whole thing.
Very nice. I've got bomb cleave. For anyone listening.
Sweet cleave, bro.
Whoa.
Sweet cleave, Johnny, bro.
I mean,
as they
great.
Say, yeah. France.
She's got some Eldridge cleave. Wasn't he a black leader?
Yeah.
Yeah. So have some fucking respect.
Oh, my gosh.
Eldridge cleavage.
There you go. Terrible.
When I was a kid, my father got me a birthday card, and it said, happy birthday from the Cleavers, Wally, the Beav, and Eldridge. And then, like, somebody photoshopped them all with their arms around each other.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was very cute.
I love it.
So weird.
Indeed.
Hey, I got a question. What's that? You guys gave me advice last week about something dumb.
Yeah. I was going to say, that didn't sound
did something else dumb happen?
At all.
Yeah, here we go.
Hey, I got some more dumb questions.
Great. Right.
And now we have a woman's perspective.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and you also have mine, so.
Oh! Oh, Sweet Cleave over there.
Sweet Cleave. That's my jazz name. Yeah. That's my
Sweet
jazz.
Sweet Cleave Davis.
Her old blues man name.
Oh, I love it.
When she's playing Cleave. Steel guitar.
All right, so what's this damn question?
So, you guys ever do a play before?
Yeah.
Once or twice.
And you know how sometimes you get stuck in a rut in Chicago theater of just doing plays all the time?
No.
Us?
Well,
come on.
I haven't done a play in a solid year.
Really?
It's gonna be
acted in a play.
Acted in a play. Okay. And it's going to be a year coming up.
Good for you.
And just recently, I've gone on a couple auditions.
Really?
Okay.
And I got called back for two different shows.
All right.
That's great.
And it's great. But I'm not in love with either of the parts.
Okay.
And so I'm going through this existential crisis right now where I'm like, am I willing to turn my life inside out? Like, move the podcast to a different night.
Oh, God, yeah.
Change my work hours.
Oh, man.
No.
Put everything else on hold
just
to do a play that I'm not in love with.
No, absolutely not.
No, don't do that.
No.
Don't do it, right?
Right. Yeah,
I would say not.
Yeah,
so you're
going
to do it then, is what you're saying?
But see, that's the thing. We're all non-equity actors in Chicago are continuously self-sabotaging ourselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And any decency of a career or life that a normal person would have, we decide to throw all that out the window so we can spend time in a theater just looking at fucking scripts.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Right. In hopes that people come see it.
Right.
Which, like, you could put in all this time and all this effort, and what if this weather happens that week?
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like,
all
the funding, all the time, all the talent, all the effort, and then people just get shitty because it's cold.
Yep.
Am I allowed to say shitty?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, like,
curse all you want.
Yeah.
You're cocksucking right, you can.
No, and it pains me. I don't even do theater, which is why I have so much respect for people who do theater, because my brother and people like Johnny, I see them literally sacrifice months of their time and their life every evening. You know, oh, rehearsal's only till 10 tonight.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
That's the whole goddamn night.
Yeah, and then...
in the morning.
Right,
yeah.
And then a Cubs game or weather happens.
Right.
And it's all for nothing.
That's right.
And, you know, the dedicated people are like, well, it's not for nothing. It's for the craft. Which is why they're better people than me. For sure.
Johnny's
let me ask you this, though.
Yep.
So let me be the devil's advocate on this thing. What I try to do when I decide to do a project or not is I look at all the factors.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the part, right? I look at the script.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the director.
Yep.
I look at the theater,
sure.
If they have any kind of reputation at all.
Sure.
If like three out of those four things is a good, then I do it.
Okay.
If it's any less than that, it's not worth doing it.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. That's good math,
it's
I guess.
It's like what they tell us girls when we're really young to do about boys.
Oh,
they're like,
interesting.
If your
look
boyfriend,
at four things.
Well, they're like, if your boyfriend, if you think he's not treating you nice, like basically teaching us how to like deal with abusive relationships, they're write down a list of all the things you like about him and all the things he does that like make you sad. Like,
wow. If you can see a list out of your eye that hasn't been punched yet.
is this homework they gave you in boyfriend class? Where does this come from?
In Arkansas, they take boyfriend class.
Oh, okay.
So this is like when you guys were learning about like condoms and stuff in another room, we were learning like It's like, I was about to say something really inappropriate.
No, go ahead. There's no such thing as inappropriate here.
I was just
going
to say, anything that happens is your fault. No,
well, I mean, there's some legitimacy to that.
Uh-huh. But they do really, like, tell you to do that. They're just like, you know, like, make a list. And I, like, read magazines that tell women to do that. And they're like, if the list is longer for the reasons you don't like maybe you should break up with them.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. If the list is equal,
then
you should break up.
Yeah.
It needs to be a really long, good pro list.
I was going to say, yeah. I think the fact that you're sitting down to make a list is a really bad fucking sign.
Great point.
On the pro category, we have money and dick size. And then on the con side, we have everything else.
Oh.
I'll stick with him for a little while longer.
Yeah, but like this theater, like, are they a good dick size for you? Like,
are they a good dick size?
They're pretty good dick size.
That's good. Are they going to?
They're pretty good, well-respected companies.
They're going to hit your spots?
Directors, all that stuff. But I find, as I get older, my priorities change.
Yeah.
And I enjoy helping run a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's unless it's the fucking most beautiful, sweetest puss of a play that I've ever seen, like the best part, you know? Like, I'm not going to upend my fucking life to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Is there an opportunity for you in the production aspect of this play? Like, if you said, I don't want either one of these parts, but I would love to.
No, you don't have that stuff. Yeah, no, no.
Yeah.
I'll be the costume constructionist.
The costume mistress?
Yeah. I'll be the paint charge.
Or what if the show just had like rotating guest hosts while you had rehearsal instead of changing the
that
night?
Would be fun.
That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be fun for you guys.
Right.
Yeah,
for me. We wouldn't have to change a thing.
Yeah.
Are they paying you?
Not enough.
Then
for it to make
yeah,
it.
See,
no way.
I feel like we're having that conversation the that girls have.
But they are both good shows. They'll both be probably reviewed well.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Both
have
they good
run during the summer?
They run during the summer.
That's
and that's the thing.
Unfortunately.
I'm a grown-ass man. Yeah. I want to have my summers.
Yeah,
when we live in Chicago, you don't want to spend all day in rehearsal in the summertime.
No, you don't.
To me, it sounds like you're giving us permission to tell you not to do it.
That's right. You're
like that's
you're
what
basically,
you need
this reminds
us to
me,
tell
yeah,
you.
This reminds me of one of my favorite quotes of all time, and I wish I could remember to whom it should be attributed. But
Eldridge Cleaver,
probably
wise man.
Yeah. But it's when you ask for advice, what you're really asking for is an accomplice, right? And so you don't want to do this. You just need somebody to be your wingman and tell you not to do it.
Well, I don't want to feel
reason you're trusting us.
I have classic Chicago actor brain.
Right.
Where I think
I got to do something.
If I don't do this, then I'm going to regret it.
Yep.
Right.
I'll be on a list.
Yeah.
They'll never ask me to do anything again.
Right. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Right.
Bullshit.
Yeah, that back to back.
Everyone will forget
stuff.
About me. Everybody forgot about me years ago.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Right.
I don't know.
But see, if you don't do
you're
this,
asking the wrong guy. Well, go ahead.
I'm just saying, if you don't do this and everybody does forget about you, all that does is set you up for a comeback.
This girl is
like Scott Baio.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What an analogy.
Wait. Like Scott Baio. Fuck Scott Baio.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey. He's due for a comeback.
I told these guys I would fight him in a celebrity match.
Really?
Yeah.
Like legitimately fight him or like diss track?
He should.
No, like MMA fight him.
Oh, like
in a cage.
Like Hapkido?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd use his fucking
I'd pay to see that.
Hell yeah.
I'd
kick his
that.
Fucking ass.
That's some Hapkido shit right there.
Hell yeah.
So anyway, okay. That's all I needed to know. It's not worth changing everything in my life for 12 weeks.
No.
If it's not something
that's
that
so
I...
That's so long.
Yeah, dude, that's a...
Oh.
Because you got to change it for rehearsal.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And then you got to change it to a different place for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, no way. I thought we were talking about like 5 weeks, and I was still like, nah.
No.
No, rehearsals are 6 weeks long, and then the show runs for 6 weeks.
Fuck
See,
place.
Listen, you're talking to someone who gets a call at 3 p.m. to be someplace at 10 p.m. and is done in 10 minutes. Like,
right.
I don't even remember how rehearsal works.
Maybe that's what we need to get into.
Yeah.
Stand up.
I'm telling you, it's the lazy man's theater.
Yeah, but to really be successful, to really like go for it hard, you need to do the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't have 10,000 hours in me to do it.
No,
I did it about 10 hours total my whole life, stand up. And I was like, I hate this.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't need to dedicate 10,000 hours. You just need to like just not have a lot of hopes and dreams for the future, because then you can't be disappointed, right? Yeah. You can only go up if you're already at rock bottom.
Right.
Like I was telling somebody earlier, stand-up is for improvisers who weren't any good at improv and are just deciding to be really mad about that for the next 10 years.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
People who couldn't deal well with other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like whose parents maybe didn't like them a whole lot. And so.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My parents loved me, but I was not good at improv.
So when I see guys like Norm MacDonald or Aziz Ansari or Louis C.K., guys like that, do stand-up, I think, well, that must be 30 years of practice those guys have to do that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I can't be as good as them, and then I think, well, why would I even start this?
Yeah, but at the same time, why are you shooting for that level when they weren't at that level their entire fucking career anyway? Mm-hmm.
Because I have delusions of grandeur.
There you go. You gotta be realistic.
Should be the title of your memoir.
I like it.
It's like delusions of grandeur.
In rehearsal, when I was watching those guys rehearse for the show that I'm understudying now, I was reminded that, you know, the reason that everybody, when you saw productions of Shakespeare done by the Royal Shakespeare Company, whether it was on video or whatever, and the fact that they were able to roll it off their tongue so easily, and you were reminded by that the great actors did those for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing happened with the Russian theater with Stanislavski. They did those plays for 20 fucking years.
That's right.
So that's why they were so good.
Doing them in rep, playing every role from, you know, the spear carrier to the lead, and you know, that's how you do it.
And so you have to give yourself a little break, you know.
Yeah.
Because you're not quite that, but this is because like the 10,000 hours thing, and but it's all about repetition. And,
All right.
Well, what do you know?
So hopefully we've helped you with that
Maybe
decision.
Next week I'll let you know what happened.
Keep us posted because we're waiting with bated breath.
Because I got callbacks for both things, and I have a feeling that I'm just right for both parts. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, well, I'm just right enough where I could potentially be offered both the shows.
Wow.
And I'm not crazy about either show, to be honest.
Oh.
Why do something you're not excited about?
Yeah.
Great point.
There you go.
I'm just excited about you and you seeing you fellas.
That's everybody. Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Excited to be here for another day.
And Sydney Davis.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Cindy Darvis.
Oh, man, oh, man.
Lindsay
oh, man.
Ravis.
Well, since you've been on the show, I think we've developed a new segment that you have yet to participate in, and it's called Chaka Khan.
Oh, no.
And the reason why it's called Chaka Khan is because during this segment of the show, there's no bitching, no moaning, no whining, no complaining, no weeping, no wailing, no fussing, no fighting, no griping, no groaning, no growling, no grumbling or grousing, no cynicism, criticism, vitriol, or politics, no belly aching, no moping, no trifling, and no dumping. Because Lord knows we live in a world now where everybody is just bitching about everything 24 hours a day. But not here, not during Chaka Khan. During this segment, you have to tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Woo! Yeah!
So yeah, no, none of that negative shit.
All else!
So, who wants to start? Anybody? Somebody? Anybody?
I'll start
Anderson,
this week.
Do it.
This morning I got up and I didn't sleep well. I got up at like 3 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Rough.
And I finished playing. Two good things happened.
Okay.
At the 3 o'clock hour this morning. That's what time you get up if you have a baby, by the way.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Just fucked up.
Who is your baby?
I avoided having a baby my whole life.
Who was your baby this week? Was it Assassin's Creed?
It was. I beat Assassin's Creed at 3 a.m. And I was so fucking tired. I was sitting there with my e-cigarette playing this game. And I got done with it and the credits rolled. And I was like, oh, well. I wish I could just go back to sleep. This has lost all of its luster for me. So then I turned on WGN News.
Okay.
They're,
and they're playing this clip of David Ross, you know him, the catcher for the Cubs.
Yeah, oh, God, I heard about this.
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars last night.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I saw his costume, though.
Yeah, and this lady picked him up. He picked up a lady, and he did
It was like a samba.
Somersault.
It was like a sci-fi samba or something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, he picked her up, and he's flipping her above his head, and her legs are spread right above his head, and she farts right in his face.
No, you're kidding!
She farted right in his fucking face,
How
man.
Do you and know? You heard it?
Oh, yeah.
You can hear it?
On our break, I'll try to dig up the video for you.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable.
But then he just straight up drops her on the ground. He just has his hand up.
Speaking of that, that is pretty funny. When I saw the news about it, it's the first time I've ever seen the word fart actually used in a headline that a news outlet.
Yeah.
Like the Washington Post.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when Nancy Grace made the news because she farted on Dancing with the Stars?
No.
No.
It's like, it's audible. And her face does this little like...
Whoa.
Yeah, it's, they're just like interviewing her and like, oh, you know, you feel great about it. Yeah, I feel really good. And you hear... and she just like...
Gotta keep going.
Hilarious.
Hey, that's what happens when you start moving your body around. Uh-huh. I know I've told you the story before, Jazz, but one time... when I was out doing a kids' summer camp teaching theater,
sure.
We're out in this big fucking like 2,000-seat theater out in the suburbs out at this like suburban theater camp. And these kids are putting on a version of Grease that they wrote. And this one girl, this one little fat girl, and I don't mean to bring that up just so that you can imagine what she looked like. And she had like long hair that she kept flipping out of her face, and she was such a fucking bitch to everyone else. She was like 12 years old.
Really?
She was just fucking garbage. Like, she was mean to all the other kids all the time, and she had this really bad wisp. Like,
oh, you're kidding.
Like her L's and
I feel
W's
like you
and
shouldn't get to do both.
Yeah, I mean, she was just fucking, everybody hated this girl, right? And she was like, she wanted to be the bad guy in the play.
Okay.
So this is a version of Grease they wrote themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to be the mean cheerleader.
Right.
Okay.
And so she's coming up. We're doing our tech rehearsal. And there's like 60 kids in the show. And they're all sitting in the auditorium. And she has her big scene. And she goes up and she says like some mean shit to the main character. And she flips her hair out of her face and does a somersault. And she rips one so fucking loud. You can hear it bounce off the back wall of the fucking theater. And not only did it took a solid 2 seconds because everyone gasped. You know, like everyone gasped before they started laughing. And, you know, it was like it was that 2 seconds of like looking around for other people's positions. Yeah, and then the whole and all the teachers too. Man, everybody. It was like 2 seconds of silence, and everyone at the same time was like.
And I bet you that girl was mortified.
Serves oh my god! Right. And all the teachers, nobody could get it together to tell the kids to stop laughing. All the teachers are crying, man. And that girl's gonna remember that shit her whole life.
Maybe not behave like an asshole now.
Yeah,
that's true. So that's your story.
That's my jacket.
Fart face, David Ross, Grandpa Rossi takes gas right in the face.
Gas face.
Well, I guess that works. All right, Johnny Moe, what do you got for us this week?
So I took a training class downtown for my job.
Uh-huh.
I had to do with social media.
Okay.
And the class was about your elevator pitch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and just kind of crafting that and being able to deliver very quickly what your role is at your organization and why you do it and everything
sure.
like that. And it turned out to be a really good class because I started to hear other people's pitches. And these are all different nonprofits. These are all people that work for and have different roles and missions.
Mm-hmm.
And people started personalizing their elevator pitches with their own personal history. And one
sure.
person talked about why they're at this nonprofit because their brother was murdered last December, shot to death.
Oh, gosh.
Another person, they do it because the child that they knew in fourth grade who she didn't realize was autistic,
mm-hmm.
and now I work in autism education.
Right.
And, so it was very personal,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of inspired me to be reminded of the things that I do in my job and how on the way down to the class, I was actually dealing with a kid who reached out to us through our Facebook page and was stranded in Milwaukee and needed a ride home.
Oh, wow.
And he was cold and hungry and lost, basically. And I was working with him back and forth to see if we can connect him to our services.
Uh-huh.
So I used that in my new elevator pitch.
Okay.
So it was a big reminder of, like, the kind of the work that we do.
Sure.
It was good.
Nice.
It was really cool.
Why you do What You Do.
Chaka Khan!
Man.
I love it. That's definitely a Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan!
Cindy?
Is that you saying that?
That is not me saying that.
I would believe that was you.
No, that's actually the sample of John Lovitz singing that at the end of his audition in The Wedding Singer.
Right. He's losing his mind.
And I'm reaping all the benefits.
And I feel like I also just dated myself. I'd be like, is that you?
That's all good.
That's one of the funniest moments in that movie.
Oh,
the other funniest is, there were clones!
What did you say?
When he's putting his friend through the ringer as far as driving the limo.
Oh, when he runs over
a cone.
Right.
Hey, you just ran over a cone. It could have been a guest at her wedding. Oh, but they were clones.
That guy is funny as hell. I like that guy.
Yeah.
He's good in
Sandler movies.
Yeah, yeah. I liked him in Grandma's Boy and all of his stuff. I'm a big Adam Sandler apologist. So
me too. We need to start a league. Uh-huh. The Adam Sandler apology league.
Yeah, totally.
I was until Spanglish.
Oh, I haven't seen that one actually. Yeah. So maybe I should hold my tongue.
Yeah.
But I feel like, look, he did a lot. Between Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore,
yeah.
Those are like two of the best.
Oh, yeah.
comedy films
of the era.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
he could stop there, like Caddyshack.
Right. Yeah. He could have totally stopped there and just like been a legend.
Yeah.
And he still is a legend.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, look at me. I'm not somebody to like be shitting on Adam Sandler.
At least he keeps going. Right. Eddie Murphy is probably still considered the greatest comedian alive, wouldn't you say?
I don't know.
Alive?
What about like Rodney Dean? Oh, alive? Yeah. Never mind. Yeah. Sorry, that narrows it way down.
Yeah,
but what's the last fucking good thing he did?
not a lot of stand-up.
Not so much.
Yeah. That's for sure.
But he's still the greatest.
Yeah. He's definitely one of the best.
Sidney Davis?
There you go.
What's your Chaka Khan?
So, recently, I've been writing some newer material because I like to go back through my old like journals and just remember things that I might have forgotten that might really be funny. Can I just tell you guys a couple stories I've decided to like work into my material?
Heck yeah, please do.
This is an exclusive.
Yeah.
Like this is never before heard material. But it's stuff that I like totally blocked out and now it perfectly makes sense, like how I ended up like a comedian and like with this haircut. So, the first one I really want to tell because I know he has no memory of this and I like blocked it out, I guess. So when I was 11, my brother that you guys know.
Yeah, we know him.
So he found my diary and he made photocopies of it and then he blackmailed me.
What?
For an entire year. Like
no.
I completely forgot this happened. For an entire year.
Oh my
gosh. He threatened to give that the copies. He wouldn't even tell me where the hard copy was. I had no idea where he was keeping my diary, but he showed me the copies just to like show me that he had it. He threatened to give it to my mom if I didn't like do whatever. So like if he didn't want to do the dishes, like I have to do the dishes or mom was going to see this diary. And so for like, and I think he forgot about it like the week after he did it, but every single day for a year, I like had this anxiety that my brother was going to turn in my journal to my mom. I was 11.
That is fucking diabolical, man.
That's heavy shit.
Evil, I say.
But he ended up winning a writing contest that he got to go to Normandy, France. So while he was gone, my mom was like, I know, let's remodel your brother's room. And I found it under his bed. I found a bag and it had the copy and it had the original and I just like destroyed them. And the thing is like, it probably didn't even say anything that bad. It probably said like, I'm going to run away. Life is hard. Or like, whatever. I don't even remember what it said. Like, I don't even think it was like trash talking my mom or anything. Right. So I don't know why I was so concerned.
Can't wait for my period.
But at the time, but at the time, I had such anxiety every moment of every day that like this mysterious journal was just going to show up and ruin my life.
Terrible.
How messed up is that though?
That's fucking
terrible.
Like,
so what can you do to get revenge now?
You want us to kick
his
ass?
I'm going to talk about it on stage without reminding him it ever happened.
All right, fine.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to blast him. So
you need to steal some dick pics.
She's going
to
put them on blast.
Oh, God, I don't want to look at that. Are you kidding?
No, you don't look at them. You just steal them.
But how am I supposed to know what they are if I haven't looked at them?
Just find some internet pictures of dicks. Find some of your dick pics.
But
you do your shorn bush.
Oh, But I'm doing plan, a show Andy, in our plan. Hometown. I did one last summer and like 200 people came, and I think this year more people are going to come, and I'm going to like roast that story. I'm
nice.
Like,
there you go.
It
do
out.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then another thing I remembered is this guy. I dated this guy very briefly, like talked to, I think is a more appropriate term. And I know you know this person, and my brother knows this person too.
Uh-oh.
And he's always asking me what happened with this guy, and I can't tell him the truth, but the truth is, here's what happened.
Okay.
So, I was talking to this guy. He is a current Chicago actor on the scene.
On the scene?
On the scene.
God damn it.
And
he wouldn't say no to these boys. No,
we've been talking for like a couple weeks, like 3 weeks, very casually, and we decided I was going to come over to his house. Like, this was a thing we had decided days in advance. So this guy knew. I didn't just like spring this on him.
Okay.
So I go to his apartment, and the first thing I notice is that there's a stack of dishes that are like 2 feet tall in his sink, which is like normal, whatever. He's a dude, lives by himself.
Sort of.
But they have cobwebs and roaches.
What?
So like these dishes have been here so long that like they look mummified.
Right.
Holy you know, it wasn't shit, like, dude. Oh, I cooked last night and I used so many ingredients. It was like there were cobwebs. And so I ignored it. I was like, okay. And I noticed there was kind of a smell, like, in his apartment.
God.
But it was also, like, a super old building, right? And it was the middle of the summer, so, like, whatever.
You were willing to forgive.
So,
you were really tolerant.
And
yeah,
also,
seriously.
It was a studio, so he had the kitchen light on, living room light off, but you could still, like, see just fine. And, like, the TV was on, so there was light. So I didn't really see that much.
Uh-huh.
But I went into his bathroom.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, here we go.
And there was all of this black mold
in
and around his sink and in his tub, like, where he stands.
Oh, no.
And so I didn't, like, I realized I would be better off not washing my hands than, like, washing my hands in that sink. So I come out, and I'm like, hey, you know, I've read before that black mold is actually really, really toxic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean to tell you how to live your life,
but
like, you can actually die having that. And he's like, yeah, but it's like, it's been there so long. I just, like, I learned to live with it and it's kind of comforting. And I thought he was kidding. Like, I thought he was like playing off.
Sounds
and I
like
was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, that's like, no, but seriously, like, this can kill people. And he goes, yeah, no, I just like, I'm kind of attached to it now, so I think I'm just going to leave it.
Attached to it?
Oh, come on. Great.
That's the birth of a hoarder. Guys.
Yes, that is a garbage person.
Like
septic man.
And I was so shocked.
I rub poop on my feet.
Right.
Because I don't want to say goodbye.
And I was like so shocked that this guy and I had been drinking out of a cup, and I realized like I can't drink out of this cup anymore.
Yes.
Like, this and I was so shocked that I just like made up an excuse to leave,
mm-hmm.
and I left my coat on accident.
Uh-oh.
And,
just
like,
leave it.
Moldy coat.
Right. And so I left it as long as I could, and then it started to get like chilly. So I messaged him like, hey, I think I left my coat. Do you mind if I come get it? After having ghosted him for like weeks.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you should come get it. And so I came to a theater he was at, and I got my coat back, and it smelled like mold.
Oh.
And I had to get it cleaned. To date, the only item of clothing I've ever had dry cleaned that my mom like didn't make me dry clean.
You must love this coat.
And,
yeah.
No, it's this one. And I get
cleaned. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And,
we're all going to die. No. We are such a mold man.
And my brother, every once in a while, it's been years. It's been like 3 years. Every once in a while, my brother will be like, hey, like, whatever happened to you and so-and-so? And I'm just like, I think he just got busy. Like, I think he just, like, got really busy. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Did you sleep with him?
No.
Okay, good for you.
Okay,
good
so, like,
you.
I stayed over. I think it may have been that night. Just to like not be rude,
uh-huh.
And then I think the next.
But you didn't sleep with him.
Whoa.
He's like, man, I better put some mold around here.
So you stayed in a place that you knew was potentially dangerous.
I didn't want to be rude. I was really, really young. And then the worst part was like, we might have hooked up, but he like told me he was like, yeah, just so you know, like basically I hadn't been working lately. Which was great. No, it was fine. Because I was like, oh, great. Now I don't have to, like, come up with a reason not to hook up with this guy. But it was sad because for, like, 3 weeks, I really had hit it off with this guy. Uh-huh. And I probably, like, maybe I would have, like.
You guys oh can have God. A kid now. One moldy kid.
Well, here's the thing. I'm, like, super duper old-fashioned. I'm super old-fashioned. So we have to be going out for, like, a long, long time before any of that stuff happens.
Sure. Good for you.
So it wasn't, like, unusual that I stayed the night but didn't like hook up.
Sure.
Good for you, bad for him.
Yeah. But he kind of like assumed we were going to, I guess, which was another like put off.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Obviously.
But it was just a whole disaster and I was embarrassed and he, I could tell, was embarrassed but not sure like why he should be embarrassed. And I just like totally ghosted that guy.
Wow. Good for you.
No, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
I got to say, that was a hell of a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
I'm glad we came out on the positive side of it because then that definitely qualifies it as a Shaka Khan moment.
I thought it was a Shaka Khan moment because now it's hilarious.
Right.
Like, sure. I love the story now.
Not for him.
Yeah.
Living in a moldy house with a broke ass dick.
If. That's the saddest part of all is this guy. You said you were young, so I'm assuming he was pretty young,
too. I was
too,
like and he's 21.
Going around telling 25, people his dick is broke already?
That sucks. He might have been 24. But he didn't specify why, and I wanted to tell him it was probably mold-related.
Yeah.
Like, that's right. Legit. Like, probably mold-related.
You're holding your dick over a moldy toilet every day a couple times a day.
Probably,
something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, some bacterial infection.
He's still alive. I mean,
he's probably dead in the river.
Wow.
He's like,
but he's like such a nice guy in the scene. Like everyone who knows this guy loves this guy.
Can we talk about this off the air?
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm really interested as to who this is.
Maybe. But he could be like your best friend.
Nope.
I don't know.
Nope.
My best friend,
of mine does that.
I'm going to go on Facebook and look him up and I'm going to see if you've shared anything on his wall.
My God. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's a hell of a
mystery.
It's a mold mystery.
Yeah. That's almost some TMZ type shit.
No joke, man. That's scary.
We're putting this dude on blast.
Fuck yeah. At blast AF.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm going to keep mine short and sweet. Most of you know that in November, right before Thanksgiving, I got hit by a car riding my bike on the way home, broke my wrist. It took 12 weeks just for me to be able to like give a thumbs up or a high five, but I'm finally at the point where I'm only like maybe a week or two away from really being able to get back to my job and getting back to my life.
Fantastic.
I don't think I'm going to be riding my bike much anymore, at least not for a while.
Well, just avoid the major streets. Avoid.
And I might wear the old splint just because I know if I fell off the bike or got hit again, it would hurt like a motherfucker.
Right,
so
I'm
not going to be back to that kind of full capacity. And I probably won't be playing softball this season.
Aww.
But I'm almost 100%, and that makes me feel very good.
Yeah. You know what? Just switch to one of those long skateboards for a while.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all the better. Well, thank you guys for playing Shaka Khan and just telling me something good.
Has anyone ever lost Shaka Khan?
Tell me something good.
There is no losing Shaka Khan.
You cannot lose.
Because I feel like I kind of would have lost, just because my story was sad.
That's not sad.
But it was hilarious to me. Like, both of them are funny to me.
Oh, my God, yes. No, those definitely qualify as Shaka Khans. Yes!
Actually a disaster.
Well, what's next, Anderson?
Let's do the news!
Time now for Anderson Lawther Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
Everybody's favorite segment, the news.
Well, Jazz, let's get started right away with some breaking news.
Jump right in.
This first story comes to us from North Dakota, and it's called Clown Snakes.
Oh, no.
I heard about this crazy shit.
Yeah, you're the one who sent it to me.
It's two great tastes that taste horrible and creepy together.
Yeah.
So lucky. A North Dakota police say they're investigating a menacing report involving a creepy clown and a man with a snake.
Oh, my God.
Fargo police responded to an apartment building Saturday evening in response to a report the pair were scaring several children. Of course. But there's two things that'll scare children.
Yeah.
It's a nighttime with a clown and a snake.
Yeah. Oh.
Authorities say the snake was a boa constrictor, about 3 to 4 feet long.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
And police interviewed the clown and his alleged cohort.
Right.
And they could face a felony charge of terrorizing.
A clown had
a knife as well.
Are you serious?
So there's a clown running around with a knife, and then a guy with a boa constrictor around his arm hanging out with him.
This is really
like
bad news.
Is this like life this brought to you by Rob Zombie?
No, this is like last week.
Have you noticed also every time I've been on here, there's been clowns like wrecking havoc?
Well, we're always minding clowns and snakes and alligators.
As you should, man.
They're the most important and scariest thing.
And most insidious.
Fuck ISIS. Yeah. It's these scary clowns and these goddamn alligators.
But here's the thing. At least alligators, like, I trust alligators more because I realized it. Like, they just see me as food. So
you listen
sense.
To me right now.
But, like, clowns?
Do not ever trust an alligator.
No, never. Never.
Never.
Now, scary clowns shit. Either, but no. Alligators.
Have you guys seen the trailer for the new It movie?
Yes.
So everything about that film I thought was a complete disaster. Like when I was reading about it, just the actors in it.
Okay.
But the trailer looks good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It does.
Like when I heard about who was cast and who's a part of it, and I was just like, oh no. But the trailer actually looks good.
Do you have those feelings because you've seen the original and are a purist,
so
or
I didn't
because
think,
you're a reader of Stephen
here's
King?
Here's the thing. I didn't think. So Stephen King, I think, has really, really bad luck getting his movies made.
That is true.
Like, I didn't think the first one was good.
Okay.
But I appreciated, like, the style of film at the time.
Totally.
That it was perfect for...
For the era.
For the era,
totally.
Yeah. Sorry, I realize I've been making, like, eye contact with you this entire time when there's, like, multiple people.
Go ahead.
It's okay.
He's got good eyes.
I wish you'd be more thoughtful, Sidney Davis.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch. Look at all of us in the eye. When you talk about clowns. Did you take speech in high school?
I did. Oh, so, yeah. So I think he just has really, really bad luck at getting his stories to screen. I don't know if you've noticed.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So that alone made me think it wasn't going to be good just because people don't treat his books very well when they make movies. But also, like, for example, the lead actor who's playing the clown, he's in a show called Hemlock Grove. And while art is subjective, I don't know if you guys have seen Hemlock Grove.
I have.
To me, personally, it was the worst piece of cinematic garbage trash I've ever witnessed in my life.
It's top five.
It's like anger
you mean
vomit.
Bottom five?
Bottom five, yeah.
It's like anger vomit inducing bad.
Oh,
because
God.
Because it's a show. So, you know, when you see a bad movie, you've wasted 1 to 3 hours of your life. I wasted 15 hours of my life on Hemlock Grove.
Sorry.
So you stuck with it.
Because one of my friends told me it's the greatest ending to a series they'd ever seen.
Huh.
So he said, I know you don't really get it right now. I know you have reservations, but keep with it. And it wasn't.
Yeah, don't listen to them.
It was the mold guy.
I should have known when
old
it was
no dick.
It was a college freshman who told me that.
No.
So.
Yeah. I do want to say while we're talking about TV shows, and I don't want to get into too many TV shows that I'm watching right now.
No.
One, I just finished American Crime. The third season is fucking outrageously good.
Is that
you
right?
You guys get a chance to
watch.
Okay.
As far as horror TV shows go, it's hard to find a good one because it's hard to keep up horror for that long.
Yeah. Sure.
Like Walking Dead is an adventure show. It's not a horror show.
Right.
True.
Would you agree?
I do agree.
And also, it's just hard to get away with some stuff on television. So you're more likely to find a good horror show on something like Netflix, which is why I was really excited about it because I was like, you know, Netflix doesn't have to adhere to any of the rules.
Right.
And it was so bad. And so when I heard that he was cast as the clown, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like this guy, I mean, if he hears this one day, I'm sure he's a good actor.
He won't.
It was like... It was just a mess.
Don't ever worry about anybody hearing this.
No. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, you say that, but 20 years from now, when I'm like doing something like successful, they're going to dredge this up and be like, she's a hater.
Uh-oh. Well, so, let's hope not.
And then the internet's going to find out who I was talking about in that mold story, because they always do.
Oh, my gosh.
That is true.
Don't even.
But there's a show on Sci-Fi. Are you familiar with what Creepypasta is?
Yeah.
No.
Like, you know the Slender Man?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's a creepypasta guy. So that's like a website that kids go on and tell these urban legends.
Right. It's like an urban legend horror site.
Wow, weird.
Anyway, it's super weird.
Okay.
But there is a TV show that came out last year on the Sci-Fi Channel called Channel Zero Candle Cove.
Okay.
Weird.
And you can watch it on, like, Amazon, Netflix, and all that shit.
Okay.
It's only, like, 6 episodes long.
Okay.
And it takes place in the 80s.
All right.
And it is scary as
really?
Fuck.
All right, cool.
I love horror.
Well, we'll check it out. All right.
It's does called
it
what?
Channel Zero Candle Cove.
What a weird name.
Yeah.
Because Creepypasta runs it. So each year they're doing a different urban legend as like a little mini-series.
That's a good idea.
Wow. That is a good idea.
That's great. Do they have anything about clowns and snakes?
Probably.
There are, yeah. It's actually, this one is about this kid, this guy. I'm sorry to get off on a tangent but this guy goes away. His wife dies or something, and he ends up in a mental institution.
Uh-huh.
He comes back home to his little town, and he starts remembering that one day when he was a kid, all the channels went out, and there was a pirated signal that came on in the middle of the afternoon.
Spoiler alert!
And it showed a puppet show called Candle Cove, and it was this, like, worm who's a pirate, and they go into a cave and whatever. And it turns out that these puppets are telling kids what to do, like subliminally telling kids what to do. It is so fucking creepy, man.
That sounds like the pirated signal that, remember, in the Chicago area?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that based on the same thing?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Or maybe, like, I wonder.
Anyway, Candle Cove, Channel Zero.
Okay.
Check it out.
Good recs. Good recommendations. What's next, Andy?
The witness said the two men, back to the clown and the snake.
Two dudes. It was a two-man operation. They live in the same building, and they're out there terrorizing children.
The two men approached children, asked if they wanted to see a dead body, and then threatened to kill them.
Fantastic.
The trifecta.
But if you're like, hey, you want to see a dead body? It's going to be your body. I'd be like, how am I going to see that if I'm dead, bitch?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
You just,
like, kill somebody else and come back here later.
Cash me outside.
Wow. Yeah, you would, like, shame them. And then they would, like, you wouldn't even have to call the cops. They would just stop out of shame.
Yeah,
they
right.
Think
like,
about
dumbass
that
clown. You
that's
didn't
a good ass
think
tactic.
That.
This
that's
is what
the
I
best
think.
Tactic.
Did these guys get caught? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Well, they were spoken to by the authorities, yes.
They're going to get a good ass whooping from a cop one day.
I agree.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
I would whip their ass if I wasn't too scared.
Actually, the parents of these kids, if they're around, they're going to be looking for that motherfucker.
They goddamn
right. And out there, they don't fuck around. They got guns and all
North
kinds
Dakota,
of shit.
Yeah. There's like no one can hear you scream anywhere.
That's right.
There's no one around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's no one. It's not for males.
Alaska snake.
That sounds preposterous.
A misplaced pet is causing concern in a community north of Anchorage, Alaska.
Concern!
Ominous.
Too much concern from residents! I'm so concerned!
Animal control officials in Matanuska.
Nice job.
Susitna. Burrow. 17-foot python that weighs 100 pounds.
Whoa!
Escaped
in Meadow Lakes, Alaska.
Now.
Shit.
Holy
how does, like, I'm sorry, but how does that happen?
I don't know.
Because these motherfuckers are not supposed to have, like, if your dog gets loose from your house, you're like, I left the door open or something. The dog
but,
got
like,
out.
How do you miss a 17-foot snake leaving the house.
But people who are attached to animals like that also, you know, take them out of their environment and hang out with them in the crib, and then they just leave them out overnight while they go to sleep, and then the next thing you know, the thing's out a fucking window or whatever. That's probably what happens.
Crawling to find food.
Yep.
Oh, fucked up, man.
And it's
you think a snake be like, I'm not going out there. It's Alaska. It's cold as shit.
Yeah, you would think.
But these snakes ain't got no sense either.
These snakes out here tripping. What else happened?
Animal
Andy?
Care officer Darla Erskine says the owner has gone door to door notifying neighbors and continues to search for the bright yellow and white reptile.
Oh, God.
And you know that snake's just trying to find a warm place, and that's somebody else's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Or like a tanning bed somewhere.
Yeah, there you go. The director also recommends that small pets be brought inside because the snake is on the loose.
Oh, my gosh.
As well as small children.
Yep.
She says the temperatures that drop into the low 30s may weaken the snake or compel it to seek a warm place.
Yep.
And then there's a big line in the article that says, there are no wild snakes in Alaska.
Really? But
until now.
That's actually really interesting. I didn't know that.
Because it's mostly cold. Snow. Yeah. But there are warm parts. There are parts of it that are a little more, you know, they have some springtime climates.
Do we have snakes in Chicago? Like natural snakes?
They're tiny little garden snakes. Mm-hmm.
Right. The garden snake.
There are?
Yeah.
I bet I'm sure if you go out farther into the sticks, you're going to find different.
In the sticks. But I mean, in this neighborhood we're in now.
I bet if you go down in the sewer, you'll find some.
Sure.
But let's not do that.
Some of the parks, I imagine, where there's lots of greenery and places to go underground and stuff.
Ponds and creeks and stuff.
Biggest nerd on earth.
Talking about me?
When Claire Daniels joked about wanting a Dr. Pepper fountain on Twitter, she never expected her dream might become a reality.
Wow!
Back in December, the Kansas State communications major, this is a college person, expressed her dismay at how much she was spending drinking Dr. Pepper every day.
Oh, no. Don't get this girl a fountain.
I really just need to have a Dr. Pepper fountain installed in my house. That would probably be cheaper than how much I spend on Dr. Pepper currently.
Oh,
she
put.
The tweet caught the eyes of Dr. Pepper himself.
Oh.
Little sweet.
It's a sweet one. Have a fountain.
That's what he's like.
Plug that shit up.
That's not somebody who needs a fountain. That's somebody who needs a therapist.
And insulin.
Or a dentist.
All of the above. All of the above.
The marketing team decided it would be fun to actually surprise her with a soda fountain of her dreams.
Oh, God.
We were really inspired by her love of the brand Dr. Pepper and wanted to have a fun twist on what exactly that means for her, Dr. Pepper said.
What a mess.
Pretty Dr. sure Pepper he's also been said, dead since the 1800s.
Yeah, probably.
They figured Daniels just wanted a restaurant-type soda fountain, but decided it would be more fun to make a giant fountain like the kind usually placed outdoors.
Oh, God. What?
Oh, no.
I thought it was going to be like a drinking fountain.
Yeah.
And then she says, the girl, Daniel, said, I honestly don't know what I was picturing. It was just kind of a jokey tweet. That's her trying to say, her super embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, my God, I really didn't want this. And now she's like,
be careful what you wish for.
That's right.
Got her water wings on.
Yeah, covered in sticky-ass ducks.
Oh, my God. All the pigeons and squirrels are dying in the fountain.
23 flavors.
All the bros on the campus of Kansas State are going to be wrestling in that shit.
Oh, my God. But isn't this such a fucking nerd, in college?
Oh, my God.
I could see being like, man, I need a Natty Ice fucking fountain because I spend so much money on Natty Ice every day. Right?
That would make more sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Dr. Pepper, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I need a Trojan fountain because of all the money I spend on Trojans.
Yeah, my condom fountain.
I need a Plan B fountain for all the money.
Oh, that's so bad in
with
so
all
many
the sex
ways.
I have.
Yeah, with all the lube I get, a big old lube fountain for my butthole.
K-Y.
Out here in Manhattan, Kansas.
Gross.
Jesus.
Tell me why.
Oh,
that just
funny.
Goes to show you. Don't drink Dr. Pepper, you asshole.
You go.
Watch what
you're
you tweet.
An adult.
Yeah. Watch what you tweet.
You
that's the lesson.
You are what you tweet.
Yes.
There you go.
That's. Yeah. You never know who's going to show up with a fountain of some bullshit.
That's right.
For you.
Some bullshit.
We thought you wanted a fountain of mold.
Yeah.
You're always talking about mold.
Oh my God!
Let's not go back to that. I feel like I need to check if that guy's still alive. Like,
oh,
legitimately.
He's dead.
Good luck. Yeah, good luck. Godspeed to him and his moldiness. What's next, Andy?
The Porn Marines.
Semper Fi, do or die, gung ho, gung ho, gung ho.
Jizz in my face.
Yeah. Oh, I think I actually know this story.
Oh yeah.
I think I know the story. Go ahead.
The wife of a decorated Navy SEAL.
Oh, my God. Oh,
no. Under military, is under military investigation for moonlighting as a porn star.
That's right.
Oh. Said he was just helping her career and shouldn't be sanctioned. Joseph John Schmidt. The third. John Joseph Jingleheimer. A Navy Chief Special Warfare Officer who spent 23 years in the military has made more than 30 porn films.
That's right.
In the past 7 years under the name Jay Voom.
Can somebody look him up?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, dude, I looked him up. I've been looking at his videos.
Oh, have you?
Most of them with his wife, porn star Jules Jade.
Jules Jade.
I know
that's
Jules
right.
Jade. I've seen her.
There you go.
Naval Special Warfare.
Do you know
command.
Her like your back of your
like,
hand?
Like this.
I have not enjoyed her quite in that way.
They've begun investigating whether Schmidt violated rules that require SEALs to get advance approval for outside work and whether his superiors knew of his side job.
Right.
Quite honestly, no one should care because it's a legal job and a lot of people watch porn, his wife said. But he's such a good operator with a clean record. He's been Sailor of the Year numerous times and is a great public speaker and recruiter. Schmidt, 42, has received numerous medals and ribbons for his service. He had planned to retire from the military in 8 months. He isn't commenting on the investigation.
That's the hypocrisy of this whole thing, right?
Right.
This guy goes out and is essentially an assassin. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And kills people and goes around the world and, you know, blows things up mm-hmm. and shit like that. And they're giving him shit because of some fucking movies.
Right.
Well, let me tell you, I just spent some time today trying to find a video, sound clip of him in porn. I thought it would be good to have
Yeah.
If we could line up, you know, that, remember the loudest orgasm guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To this guy, just never to see where he ranks.
Never forget. Never forget.
Is that a real thing? The loudest?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is that like something guys aspire for?
I don't think so. No.
I was going to say, because to me, like, just from the perspective of a woman, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, no, it is terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
You don't want to hear it. Don't play it.
It's almost as scary as like a guy who doesn't make a single noise whatsoever.
Right. Oh, yeah. God, that's got to be creepy.
He just swallows all of his anger, thinks about his mother.
Oh, God, that's so horrifying.
Yeah, wow.
Anyway, this guy, when he jizzes, it's just like, you know? It's not exciting enough to play on the radio show.
No, okay. Not really.
If, I mean, if he was like, whoa, that's like the fucking throwing ropes dude. What's that guy's name?
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't remember that guy's name.
I can't remember. The guy who was on, right.
Awful.
I can't remember his name.
Awful.
the way Jay Voom, the way you made him sound is like he's enjoying a drink from the Dr. Pepper fountain.
Yeah, that's it. He was like, that was a refreshing blowjob. Thank you so much, all you ladies.
Right. I was figuring that he might have...
Dropping fucking loads!
Yeah.
Dropping loads!
I thought maybe he'd have incorporated something patriotic in his, you know, kind of like that story, that poem.
Victory for the forces of democratic freedom! From the balls of Montezuma!
The balls of Montezuma.
Yeah.
Man.
That was actually a poem that Tom Hickey read at a BYO open mic at Straw Dog. It's a David Foster Wallace story.
Oh,
that's
okay,
what it is.
Cool.
Brief interviews with hideous men, and it's this whole thing.
Oh, I love that book.
Yeah, and there's a thing about a guy who screams victory for the forces of democratic freedom when he shoots his load.
Jesus. Oh my God, it's too much.
Yeah, it is.
Why would make you scream anything when you shoot your load?
I don't know. I guess I have yet to find out.
It's too much.
It's just too much.
Okay, next story is dead in Chicago.
Shocking.
Again?
Yeah.
So Sydney is not familiar with this as well.
That's Jazz, true. It's time to play Dead in Chicago.
That's right. It's time when Anderson tells us about somebody in Chicago who's now dead.
All right. Now, this story comes to us today from September 20th, 1901.
Okay.
Right here in Chicago. Frederick Owis was to be witnessing a memorial procession in September of 1901, and he asked his wife to blank his shoes. She didn't seem to hear him, and so he asked it of her again.
Okay.
Once more, despite his upbraiding, she didn't react right away. Frederick got antsy, but in a moment, she grabbed the blank and began to blank his shoes. But oh, what a terrible job she did. She did a terrible job, and Frederick didn't think she really cared. In fact, how could she care at all about him if she was blanking his shoes with such bad grace? He accused her of not caring for him, grabbed a gun, and shot himself.
Oh,
himself?
No.
What?
Wow.
He fucking killed himself over the blanking of the shoes?
Are we supposed to guess what the blank is?
It could have been a ton of other shit, too. There was cholera and fucking streetcars
like,
and shit.
Black mold.
I really thought he was going to shoot her.
Yeah.
Like, that's the twist.
Yeah. Took his own...
Yeah,
and
we
that kind of
just tell boring ass normal stories around here, Sidney Davis Jr.
Doesn't that sound like someone who wanted a reason to kill themselves? Like she's probably terrible at it every time.
Yeah.
And
you
this,
burned the spaghetti. Yeah.
Look what you made me do. Yeah. Like that.
You don't
like,
care about me.
That sounds like a guy who just really needed to like end it and just wanted to blame her on his way out.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe.
He wanted to blame her for a lot of stuff. He just picked the smallest thing. Okay, so what is the blank?
I'll guess polish.
Polish for Johnny Moe. Sidney.
I'll say cobble.
Mm,
cobble.
Like resole them?
Yeah.
All right, I'll say lace.
Lace.
Yes, those are the only three things that I think would be
appropriate. Cobble, polish, and lace. That's the name of my new folk band.
All right.
Polish just seems so easy. I don't know.
Okay, maybe I'll think of something harder next time.
Oh.
Unless there's black mold in your house. There you go. Nothing's getting harder.
Yeah. Here we go. Frederick Allis was to be witnessing a memorial procession in September of 1901, and he asked his wife to polish his shoes.
There you go, Johnny Moe.
Johnny Moe wins Dead in Chicago this week.
Damn right.
I just felt like since the story ended so weird, it probably wasn't going to be something like as normal.
Yeah, fuck my shoes.
Yeah.
You did a bad job.
Well, don't you care about me? Yeah. Enough to fuck my shoes?
Right. I have to go to a funeral procession in 10 minutes. And you haven't fucked my shoes yet.
You... All hell!
Oh, God. Oh, my God. All right, you ready for a scary story, Jazz?
Oh, sure.
This should be in the Chaka Khan section because maybe it's a point of redemption.
Oh, okay.
For one of our... villains.
Okay, interesting.
Of the game show.
Really? Right,
Dragon Doctors.
I'm fascinated.
The Komodo Dragon. My least favorite animal.
Oh, God, they're so scary.
I don't know. I feel like tarantulas are...
We talked about tarantulas last week.
Yeah, we had tarantulas last week.
I don't know.
Millions of them.
The Komodo Dragon's saliva harbors many different types of bacteria.
Isn't this crazy?
That's right.
Which somehow do not affect... a Komodo dragon.
Right.
Right.
In fact, you know, from all of our stories, that's how they kill animals. They bite them, and then their bacteria gets in, and they just follow them around.
Yeah.
For
yeah. Right.
Scientists at George Mason University created a synthetic compound based on a molecule in dragon blood that had antimicrobial activity.
Oh.
They found it promoted the healing of infected wounds in mice.
Oh.
The study suggested the protein could potentially be developed into an antibiotic.
All right.
Nice.
But then...
the scientists believe... yeah, but then they couldn't get near it because they were attacked by Komodo dragons. The scientists believe this could be a step forward in the quest to find new antibiotics that are needed to fight multi-drug-resistant pathogens.
And black mold.
The dragons that are found on 5 islands in Indonesia have more than 80 bacterial strains in their mouths.
Wow.
Including some that cause... blood poisoning, or sepsis. But the reptiles themselves are not harmed by bacteria,
right,
suggesting they are immune.
Mm.
So they're making new medicine out of the animals that are horrifying.
Right.
So they're making prototypes of new dragons.
Yeah, they're going to be like, I'm going
to
get sepsis or some shit. I'm swimming in Lake Michigan, they're going to be like, we're just going to inject you with some dragon blood. I'll be like, uh-uh!
Wait a minute!
Yeah.
Revert to being from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Wait, just
oh, hell no! Is that going to make me into a dragon, is what you're saying?
Dragon balls.
I can't be a dragon, man.
I ain't down with dragons.
My wife has to polish my shoes. Got to get out of here. So anyway, that is an uplifting moment for Komodo dragons.
Yes. I guess it is in a weird, weird sort of way.
You know what? Ever since you did that Dr. Pepper voice, I can't stop thinking about it.
It's a sweet one.
Maybe you should do some Michael McDonald underscoring for all the stories.
Sure, I will. Absolutely.
Or you can do birthday shout-outs all in Michael McDonald, the Dr. Pepper voice.
That shit costs too much in Florida.
In Florida?
I feel like this is another reoccurring.
Yeah. Shit is always weird in Florida.
We're in a loop of the same story every week.
Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Jacksonville officers are looking for a man accused of shooting a Popeye's employee in the leg.
Oh, come on.
According to the police report, officers were called to Popeye's Chicken Company.
Yeah.
You heard of it?
Yes.
I've been there.
At about 9 p.m. in reference to an employee who was shot in the leg. Officers interviewed the restaurant's employees who said a man pulled up to the restaurant in a dark colored pickup truck. So all our listeners in Jacksonville, please be on the lookout. The man tried to place an order inside the restaurant, but had to order at the drive-thru because the store was closed.
Oh, no.
The man ordered his food, but was upset that his meal cost too much.
Oh, no.
He drove from the drive-thru, but stopped his car at the front of the store. And then the man entered the restaurant. He walked up to an employee, punched him in the face, and shot him once in the leg.
No!
Shit.
And then the man fled the scene.
Oh, like, how do these people walk among us?
I bet he didn't even pick up his chicken, so
and
he just went
what?
Over to Arby's across the street. Mm. He's like, now I'm eating roast beef. Oh. Could be eating chicken.
Which you're going to pay more fucking money for.
Yeah, and also, like, this guy probably is legally allowed to vote in this country. You know what I mean?
And carry a gun.
He's legally allowed to carry a gun, probably, too. Yeah. I mean, that's where it comes from. It's because people walk around, they feel like they got a third dick.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. So
third dick?
Exactly,
that was the joke.
I'm from a part of the country where guns are like an art. You respect them. You're taught from the age of 11. Like,
sure.
You're more afraid of your dad beating your ass because you touched a gun than like what a gun can actually do to you.
Sure, sure.
And you know, I think they're really good, and I've been asking for one since I was like 18. But at the same time, right? But at the same time, it makes no sense to me that the laws are so lax. This is coming from someone who thinks they're wonderful, who grew up around them, who knows how to use them. I've shot targets, like, and my stepdad collects them and he takes very good care of them. And I still just don't understand why it's so easy to get one.
No, I don't understand either.
You know, and people think you have to be on one side. Like, you're either pro-gun or you're anti-gun. There's no such thing as an in-between. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, there is such thing as an in-between.
Mm-hmm,
like,
absolutely.
I'm pranti-gun.
Right. Like, it just, like, how many movie theater shootings do we have to have before you, and you know what? Anyone who owns guns, anyone who collects guns and has a problem with that, like, there's got to be a weird reason they have a problem with that, right?
Absolutely.
Like, my stepdad probably would have no issues filling out maybe 5 more pieces of paper.
Right.
Like, and wait an extra week for the gun to come in, that sort of thing. So you just got to wonder, like, the people who own these weapons and use these weapons and still have a problem being told, you can still have one as long as you do this and this and this. It just makes you wonder.
It makes me wonder. I just don't understand.
It makes me wonder.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder.
I just don't understand why people feel safer carrying them around, actually. Because I've handled guns. I've shot guns. My granddad had guns in the house. I mean, I respect guns, you know. I just don't feel safer because they're around. Honestly, I just don't.
And it's not always even the gun owner you need to worry about. Mm-hmm. Like that baby who shot and killed his mom.
Right. Oh, my
because
God.
Because she had she probably would have passed with flying colors any kind of paperwork.
Yep.
But she left a gun unlocked in her purse with the baby.
Yep.
And now she's dead.
That's what you get.
Crazy.
When you have babies.
That's why you can't have babies.
That's right.
Why we support
We all have guns.
That's right. Yeah. Oh,
but,
man.
I mean, I agree with everything everybody's saying. If you just have a 3-day background check, what's the big fucking deal?
Yeah.
And then everybody can have a gun.
I don't know.
I mean, the genie's out of the bottle. Everybody's going to have a gun. It's not like we live in Australia where there's no guns.
Right.
You know?
Right. And people are always going to kill each other, whether guns are legal or not.
That's right.
This is true, too.
Yeah.
So...
They'll but if you could just put their, it on hold a little bit, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right. They'll just stick their kimono dragon on you.
There must be, what it comes down to is that there must be a small group of well-connected people who make a shit ton of money off these fucking things.
Yeah.
And they decide how and when to write the laws that their politicians are going to push for them. That's obviously the thing.
Yeah, we know. This is the wrong podcast for this conversation, guys. This is a comedy fucking podcast. None of us are solving any fucking problems in this country.
We're talking about farts.
But it is nice to be able to talk about it while we're also talking about farts.
Jazz, what's the name of the game we play with Robbie?
The name of the game we play with Robbie. Oh,
Let me guess what he says.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it is called... hold on. Fooey. I forget. Oh,
We're getting word that Sydney can't stick around too much longer,
I know.
I think we should just play the game as part of the news segment.
I agree. What is it called?
It's called... What's the name of the game where we guess what people are thinking, Johnny?
You'll either feel bad.
Listen,
for
I'm a woman. You'll never guess. Like, I've literally lived my entire life learning how to keep men from knowing what my thoughts are.
Oh, yeah.
That's our game. That's our MO. You know, we just say nothing. Nothing's wrong.
And we
nothing.
Love every minute of it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what's wrong? And you're like, everything.
And
then you're like, nothing. I'm.
So you stop asking after 10 times when what you didn't realize was the 11th time was going to be when I told you if you ever knew that.
Right. And then all the ladies are like, well, why don't you keep asking me what the problem is?
And then all her friends
are... Sick of asking you.
Yeah. And then her friends are like, listen, he doesn't care about you if he's not going to keep on asking. Move on.
So you can't... Can't figure out what's going on with these women.
I feel like I'm coming across as really aggressive in this episode.
I love it.
Is it good? Okay. Yeah, I've gone through some life changes since you guys saw me last.
Tell me one thing.
Honestly, like...
You've had a bunch. You've done some big shows. You went to New York. You did a bunch of cool shit, right?
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot more, but also I've just been thinking a lot more and reading a lot more, and I've just kind of come to some realizations about my life that I never expected. And I'll be honest, a lot of them were shroom induced, but the next day, they still made perfect sense.
Like, give me one.
Like I'm an atheist now.
Wow.
Yeah. Were you not before?
I was not before. And this isn't, I don't have any problem with people who decide they want to follow religion. There's just a lot of things I've kind of put into perspective. I'm a huge like environmental science person now. I've just been reading a lot and studying a lot and bothered by a lot and making a lot of changes. I don't know. And I just like stopped caring what people thought for, like completely, totally. You know, I've never really cared, but now it's on a level that I'm kind of, I don't know. It's very liberating. So I just cut off all my hair, started just like writing what I want to write versus what I think is like appropriate, and
you know
fuck
what I
appropriateness.
Find is the more you do and the more tired you get, the less you care about anything.
Yeah, I just like, I don't know, I just reached this level of like namaste but also like curmudgeonly grumpiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a good combo.
Yeah, I love it, but I feel like it comes across as extremely aggressive, and I don't mean to be that
way.
You're
never going to get a man with that attitude.
Yeah, exactly. I'm never going to have like babies. And
no.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a new
bunch
person.
Of atheist babies. Great. Yeah. That's just what we need.
I think it's that whole, you know how they always say your brain is fully formed when you're 25? Mm-hmm. Like the year 25th year. Have you guys ever heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I honestly think that's what happened. I turned 25 and now I've been 25 for a while. And I think my brain's just figuring things out and chemicals are just going places and hormones. And
yeah, there you get a lay of the land and you're like, okay, I see what's going on.
Yeah, it's just interesting. And I'm so willing to listen to people now. Before I was like a debater. So it was like, no, I'm right. But now I'm like, I'm an atheist. But like, if you have reasons why I shouldn't be, I'm all ears.
There you
like,
go.
Yeah.
I'm completely, you know, if you have something that you believe fervently that is complete opposite of what I believe, I legitimately want to hear it. I will sit down and I will take notes and I'll genuinely consider what you have to say.
That's very laudable.
Yeah.
Is this what your stand-up album sounds like?
I hope not. Nobody wants to hear that. No, my stand-up album's just like, I don't know. I'm going through a midlife crisis. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's the funniest shit I've heard in a long time.
That's track one.
Yep, it is. I'm robbed of that.
No, it legitimately is mostly about like the quarter-life crisis I went through this year.
That's great.
But I'm excited about it because I think it's going to be way more me than anything else I've ever done.
Where nice. Can people find it?
Yeah, so the live album recording is going to be at Elbow Room on nice. July 22nd.
Okay.
$10. Doors at 6:30. Show starts at 7. And then, yeah, just come be a part of the recording. And if that's not what you're into, it'll be available on iTunes this fall. Dope. I think like around September. So.
Awesome. Are you going to do material you've been working on right now?
Yeah, I'm going to do some old material that's just like been foolproof. I'm going to do some new material. I'm going to do just a lot of stuff. I'm just going to have fun with it. And the parts that don't work out just won't be on iTunes.
There you go.
There you go. How long is it going to be?
35 minutes.
Okay.
35 right. minutes.
Seems good. Super duper dope.
Yeah, so tight 35.
There you go.
Do we get to come and sit in the back?
Yeah, you guys are super invited. I would love to have you guys.
We're going to heckle the shit out of you. We're going to heckle the shit out of you.
And see, I feel like that would be healthy because I feel like now I'm in a mindset where I'm just like, oh, hecklers.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm 25 now. I can handle it.
Eat my ass, everybody.
Yeah. I'm 25 now. and the game is called What Do You Know?
What Do You Know?
Yes, the guessing game where you're on the spot to see whether someone knows something or not.
Okay.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
So today we asked Robbie. Robbie is a 12-year-old
mm-hmm.
who's a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked him some questions. So, Sydney, to get started, I want you to have a chance to hear Robbie, okay?
Okay.
Here he is.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your name?
My name's Robbie.
And how old are you?
11.
And what grade are you in school?
6.
And what's your favorite thing to do when you're not at school?
Play sports.
Okay. Okay. So now we know about Robbie.
Okay.
Okay, you got an idea?
Yeah.
So this game is an acronym.
Ah, okay, nice.
So we're going to see if Robbie can figure out acronyms.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. So we'll start. I don't know if it's actually called acronyms, but it's the abbreviations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's acronyms. Those are acronyms.
All right.
Good job, Andrew.
But it doesn't spell another word.
No, it doesn't have to.
Okay. So here we go. This is the first acronym I gave Robbie. Are you ready? Uh-huh. Everybody's playing.
All right.
What do the initials NBA stand for? Okay. So this is just a practice one to get started.
Yeah.
Okay? Do you think Robbie knows what that stands for?
Yes.
What does it stand for?
North American Basketball Association.
Close.
National Basketball Association.
Mm-hmm. So he probably knows better than I do what it is.
Probably.
So you're saying yes?
Yeah. And yep. I actually work for a major sports team, by the way.
Is that you right?
I'm not going to say which one just in case I incriminate myself, but sure. I should have known that, and I don't.
That's okay.
Oh, okay.
There you go. I'm going to get fired tomorrow. Yeah.
Or they're not listening.
No.
They're not listening either.
Jerry Reinsdorf is not listening. No. Johnny?
Yes, I think he knows.
Absolutely he does.
Yeah, I think
all
he
right,
does.
Let's see.
National Basketball Association.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So that's a practice one.
Yeah, he knew.
Okay, so let's get started. We have 5 questions, and let's pick a winner, all right?
Okay.
Here's our next question. NCAA. NCAA.
I think he knows what that means, but I don't know what that
Sydney
means.
Sydney Davis.
It's the National Collegiate Association of Athletics. Or maybe National Collegiate Athletic Association.
See, I was going to guess something to do with African Americans.
Oh, no. That's the NAACP.
CP. Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I feel ignorant.
No, so I'm
okay.
Locking down Sydney for a yes.
For
Robbie. Okay, that's a yes. That
you
Robbie's going to know.
No.
Johnny gives me a no. I think we're not giving
I'm
him
saying
credit.
Yeah.
And Jazz says yes. Okay, let's take a look and see if he knows NCAA.
National Cool Andy's Association.
Man,
But Johnny Moe was right.
Yeah, so that's 1 point for Johnny on the no. Great job. All right, so it's 1-0. Johnny's got the lead. You better catch up, Sydney.
Wait, I thought I got the first one right.
That was practice.
Oh.
Here we go. Our next one. NFL.
Oh, of course he's going to know what
so
that
that's
is.
The football, yeah, National right. Football League.
Yeah.
Do you think Robbie knows the answer?
Yes.
Sydney says yes. Johnny?
Yes.
Jazz?
Yep.
That's 3 yeses. Let's take a listen.
National Football League.
Yeah.
Yeah! Everybody gets a point. But Johnny's got 2 points. He's taking a commanding lead. You better catch up. There's only three questions left.
All right, here we go.
All right, our next one.
NAACP.
Is Robbie. Now, he's in sixth grade.
Sure.
It's the time for book reports.
I bet he will know.
NAACP.
It's the time for book reports, he says.
I bet he's going to know because I think he's growing up in a generation that's been told and told and told about that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Okay, that's a yes for Sydney. Johnny.
I'm going to say no.
He's going no.
I'm going to say yes, too.
Yeah. He says yes.
I have faith in Robbie, even though he has no faith in me.
He's like, yeah, I think he knows.
NAACP.
Not Andy's Association of Peeing.
Listen, I feel like that's a real thing.
So bad.
That is a real thing, but that is not the standard.
Why I hate Robbie.
That's the sign that hangs over your bathroom.
Yeah.
Quit crying, Johnny Mo.
Yeah.
Hey, Robbie, you know what? For once, we're actually working together. So. Right.
Yeah, Johnny is taking a commanding lead, 3-1.
Always.
So you guys need both these right, and Johnny needs both wrong.
Yeah.
To win this game.
It's going to take a miracle.
Here we go.
MLB.
MLB?
Yeah, he's going to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jazz? Yes. Johnny? Yes. Sydney Davis? Yes.
Yes.
And the answer is?
Major League Baseball.
All right.
There you go.
It's impossible for anyone to beat Johnny.
Yeah,
right
Johnny
now.
Moe is the champion.
But
let's do this one for fun.
Last one. Here we go. Ready?
NASA.
Oh.
NASA.
NASA?
NASA. What does that stand for, Sydney Davis? Comedian.
National Association of Scientific... Or, no. I don't know. I have no idea.
National
Bill Nye would be
Aeronautics.
So disappointed in
National,
that.
National Administration for Space
and Aeronautics.
And Aeronautics, yeah. There you go. Yeah, Space and Aeronautics.
Do you think he knows it?
I'm going to guess yes because... You know, he's a kid who's into, you know.
I
don't know for a fact that he's into this kind of stuff, but I mean, it seems like he's at that age, like you said, where he's learning.
Going
about,
to space camp.
But yeah. I'm into science, and I didn't even know.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
I know.
Do you think he knows Sydney Davis?
I think he knows.
Johnny?
No.
Fuck that
Johnny
kid.
Johnny says no.
Yeah, I feel like he's got a pattern where he doesn't know anything that's like more than 4 letters. Yeah,
only sports. Let's see.
National Association Space Academy.
Oh, close.
He tried his best, but
he
that's still enough.
He didn't say
Andy. No, he didn't say Andy.
Try.
Hey, never. Listen. Johnny went 5-for-5.
Wow. Woo! 100%! All hulls dropping low!
Someone get this man a beer. What did we decide my jazz name was?
Oh, Sweet Cleave.
Sweet Cleave. I'm going to take that away tonight, and I'm going to make that a persona.
Sweet Cleave.
That's yours. That's our gift to you.
Well, Jazz, that's the news.
All right.
And I think that's me, fellas.
This has been Anderson Lawfer Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
And Jazz, that means it's time for birthday shout out.
When's my birthday? November 29th.
December 12th.
Yeah,
and today is May 2nd, which means it's a great day to be
an intriguing Russian empress,
an innovative childcare theorist,
an international entertainment legend,
or D, all of the above.
What's up, Catherine the Great?
The longest ruling, most renowned monarch in the history of Russia. You go, girl.
You reformed administration, founded new cities, and modernized your nation to keep up with Europe, yo.
The Catherinian era brought Russian people into the age of enlightenment. Straight up dope.
Happy birthday, Dr. Spock.
Not Leonard Nimoy from Star Trek, silly. The pediatrician and psychoanalyst, Benjamin Spock.
You wrote Common Sense Baby and Child Care, influencing generations of parents to be more caring.
Your book was only outsold by the Holy Bible. Before that, most folks just beat their kids senseless.
And happy birthday, Bing Crosby.
Talk about a triple threat. You got 3 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Radio, film, and music. Bingo!
White Christmas! Since you introduced it in 1941, nobody's ever sung it as sweetly as you, Broster.
You may not have realized it at the time, but when you insisted that your homeboy Louis Armstrong be in the film Pennies from Heaven, you were standing up for racial equality in Hollywood. Right on, Bingmeister!
And let's not forget...
Fashion Queen Donatella Versace.
Vacuum King James Dyson.
Royal Shakespeare Company actor David Suchet.
The Black David Suchet, Roscoe Lee Brown.
Guys with fun-to-say names, baller Thabo Savalosha and catcher Jared Saltalamacchia.
Guys who are synonymous with their sports, footballer David Beckham and driver Kyle Busch.
Also born today,
third-generation wrestling star and triple threat performer Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Burlesque comic and kids show host Pinky Lee.
The lyricist part of Rodgers and Hart, writer of some of the best songs ever, Lawrence Hart.
And today's birthday shout-out band is...
On guitar, Larry Gatlin of the Imperials.
On bass, John Glasscock of Jethro Tull.
On drums, Bobby Henrett of the Kinks.
On keys, Goldie McJohn of Steppenwolf.
With rock and lead vocals by Lou Graham of Foreigner.
And easy listening vocals and French horn by the one and only Engelbert Humperdinck.
And if you've got a birthday shout-out, drop us a line and stuff at RadioMisfits.com.
Birthday shout-outs are made possible by Today in History, which is an app developed by Downshift Interactive and available online for free.
Visit the App Store and Google Play for info.
Do it, guys. And where should we visit to find out more about you, Sydney Davis, and your exploits of comedy?
Sydney Davis Jr. Jr.com.
All right.
JRJR.
Yep.
Instagram. I'm on Instagram under the same name. Twitter under the same name. And Facebook.
All right.
I got all kinds of sick statuses.
Oh, shit.
Sick, bro.
Sick. And I keep them public.
That's right. You favor the Facebook because you can get really in depth. You're like writing whole scenes on Facebook.
Right. I do. I go deep, man. I'm telling you, I've been deep lately.
That's awesome. All happening for you.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited to have you and come back soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And boys,
see you next Tuesday.
Okay, show's over.